सत भाई भगवान श्री रजनी जी और विज्ञान भैरव तंत्र सीरीज सिक्स लेक्चर नंबर 7 डेट 28 फरवरी 1973 वुडलैंड बॉम्बे।
श्री अरविंदो सेड समवेयर दैट होल लाइफ इज योगा and it is so. Everything can become a meditation, and unless everything becomes a meditation, meditation has not happened to you. Meditation cannot be a part, a fragment. Either it is, and when it is, you are wholly in it, or it is not. You cannot make a part of your life meditative. That is impossible. And that is what is being tried everywhere. You can become meditative, not a part of you. That is impossible, because meditation is a quality of your being. It is just like breathing. You go on breathing whatsoever you are doing, irrelevant what you are doing, you go on breathing. Walking, sitting, lying, sleeping, the breathing continues. You cannot arrange it in such a way that sometimes you breathe and sometimes you don't breathe. It is a continuum. Meditation is an inner breathing. And when I say inner breathing, I mean it literally. It is not a metaphor. Just as you are breathing air, you can breathe consciousness. And once you start breathing consciousness in and out, you are no more just a physical body. And with that start, beginning of a higher breathing of consciousness, of life itself as it, you enter a different realm, a different dimension. That dimension is metaphysics. Your breathing is physical. Meditation is metaphysical. So you cannot make a part of your life meditative. You cannot meditate in the morning and then forget it. You cannot go to a temple or to a church and meditate there, and as you come out of the temple, you come out of your meditation. That's not possible. And if you try it, you will be trying a false thing. You can enter a church and can come out of it. You cannot enter meditation and come out of it. When you enter, you have entered. Wherever you go now, meditation will be with you. This is one of the basic, primary, elemental facts to be remembered always. Secondly, you can enter meditation from anywhere. Because whole life is in a deep meditation. The hills are meditating. The stars are meditating. The flowers, the trees. The elements are meditating. The very earth is meditating. The whole life is meditating, and you can enter it from anywhere. Anything can become an entrance. And this has been used. That's why there are so many techniques. That's why there are so many religions. That's why one religion cannot understand another, because their entrance is different. And sometimes there are religions which are not known even by the name of religion. You will not recognize certain persons as religious because their entrance is so different. For example, a poet. A poet can enter meditation without going to any teacher, without going to any temple, without in any way being religious, so-called religious. His poetry, his creativity can become an entrance. He can enter through it. Or a potter who is just creating earthen pots can enter meditation just by creating earthen pots. The very craft can become an entry. Or an archer can become meditative through his archery. Or a gardener, or from anywhere. Whatsoever you can do can become a door. If the quality of awareness changes while doing it, it becomes a technique. So there can be as many techniques as you can imagine. Any act can become a door. So the act, the technique, the way, the method is not primary, but the quality of consciousness that you bring to the act is the basic. Kabir, one of India's greatest mystics, was a beaver, and he remained a beaver even when he attained. He had thousands and thousands of disciples, and they will come and they will request him that now stop your beaving. You don't need. We are here and we will serve you in every way. Kabir would laugh, and he will say, this weaving is not just weaving. I am making clothes. That's the outer act. But something goes within me simultaneously that you cannot see. This is my meditation. How a weaver can be a meditator? Through weaving. If the quality of the mind that you bring to weaving is meditative, then the act is relevant. Is not relevant. It is irrelevant. Another mystic was a potter. His name was Gora. He was working on earthen pots, and he continued, and he will dance and he will sing while he was making his pots. While he was making his pots on the wheel, as the pot will center on the wheel, he will also center within himself. You will see only one thing. The wheel was moving and the adhan part was emerging, and he was centering the adhan part. You were seeing only one centering. Another centering was happening simultaneously. He was also being centered. While centering the part, while helping the part to emerge, he was also emerging in the unseen world of inner consciousness. When the part was created, that was not the real thing he was working on. He was also creating himself. Any act can become meditative. And once you know how an act becomes meditative, you can transform all your acts into meditation. And then whole life becomes yoga. Walking on the street, or working in the office, or just sitting, not doing anything, idling, anything can become meditation. So, remember, meditation doesn't belong to the act. It belongs to the quality you bring to the act. Now we will enter the techniques. First, as waves come with water and flames with fire, so the universal waves with us. As waves come with water and flames with fire, so the universal waves with us. First, try to understand what a wave is. And then you can feel how this consciousness of waves can help you to enter into meditation. You see waves in the ocean. They appear. They are in a sense. And still they are not in a deeper sense. This is the first thing to be understood about a wave. The wave appears, it is there, in a sense, and still it is not there in a deeper sense. In a deeper sense only the ocean is. You cannot have a wave without the ocean. And while even the wave is there, only the ocean is. The wave is just a form, not substance. The ocean is substantial. The wave is just a form. Because of language, many problems are created. Because we say wave, it looks as if wave is something. It will be better if we use not wave, but waving. There is no wave, just waving. Just an activity, not a thing. Just a movement, not a substance. Just a process, not matter. The matter is the ocean. The wave is just a form. The ocean can be silent. Waves will disappear. But the ocean will be there. The ocean can be silent, or in movement, or in much activity, or in no activity. But you cannot find a silent wave. Wave is activity, not substance. When the activity is there, the wave is there, it is a waving, a movement, a simple formal movement. But when the silence comes, inactivity comes, the wave is no more. The ocean is there. In both the cases, the ocean is the reality. The wave is just a play form. The wave happens and disappears. The ocean remains. Secondly, waves appear as individuals. Each wave has its own personality, unique, different from any other. No two waves are similar. Some waves are big, some waves are small. They have their own peculiar characteristics. Each wave has its own character. And of course, each wave is different from the other. One wave may rise, another may die. While one is rising, another is dying. Both cannot be the same, because one is arising, another is dying. Still, the reality behind both is the same. They look different. They look separate. They look individual, but the look is fallacious. Deep down, only one ocean is. And howsoever they look unrelated, they are related. And while one wave is arising and another is dying, you may not see any relation. The relation may not appear. Because how a rising wave can be related to a dying wave? One old man is dying and another child is born. How they are related? If they are related, they will die both together. I will be born together. The child is born and the dead man has died. One wave is dying, another is arising. But the arising wave may be gathering energy from the dying wave. The dying wave may be helping it by its death to arise. The dispersing wave may be the cause of the wave that is arising. Deep down, they are related to one ocean. They are not different. They are not unrelated. They are not separate. Their individuality is false and illusory. They are non-individual. Their duality appears, but it is not so. Their non-duality is the truth. Now, I will read this sutra again. As waves come with water and flames with fire, so the universal waves with us. We are just waves in a cosmic ocean. If you can meditate on it, if you can allow this feeling go deep down within you, if you start feeling your breathing as just a rising of a wave, you breathe in, you breathe out, and the breath that is entering you was someone else's breath just a moment before. And the breath that is leaving you will become someone else's breath the next moment. Breathing is just waving in an ocean of life. You are not separate, just waves. You are one deep down. We have a togetherness. Individuality is false and illusory. Hence, the ego is the only barrier. Individuality is false, appears, but it's not real. The real is the non-individual, the oceanic, the togetherness. That's why every religion is against the egoistic attitude. The person who says there is no God may not be irreligious, but the person who says I am is irreligious. Gautam Buddha was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. Mahavira Vardhaman was an atheist. He didn't believe in any God. But they achieved, they arrived, they realized the totality, the wholeness. If you don't believe in any God, you may not be irreligious, because God is not basic to religion. Non-ego is basic to religion. And even if you believe in a God with an egoist mind, you are irreligious. With a non-egoistic mind, no need to believe in a God. You fall into the divine automatically. With no ego, you cannot cling to the wave. You have to fall to the ocean. With the ego, you go on clinging to the wave. Look at life as an ocean and feel yourself just as a wave. And allow this feeling to enter in you. You can use this technique in many ways. While breathing, feel the ocean is breathing in you. The ocean comes to you, goes out, comes in, goes out. With every breath, feel a wave arising. With every exhalation, feel a wave dying. And between the two, who are you? Just a nothingness, sunya, a void. With that feeling of the void, you will be transformed. With that feeling of nothingness, all your misery will disappear, because misery needs a center and a false center for that. The void is your real center, but with it there is no misery. You are in a deep ease, because you are not, so who can be tense? You are bliss-filled. Not that you are bliss-filled, but because you are not, only bliss is. Without you, can you create misery? That's why Buddha never says that in that state, ultimate state, there will be ananda, bliss. He never says. He says there will be no misery. That's all. To talk about bliss may mislead you. So Buddha says, don't ask about bliss. Simply try to know how you can be without misery. And that means, how can you be without yourself? What is our problem? The problem is the wave thinks itself separate from the ocean, then there are problems. How? If a wave thinks itself separate from the ocean, the fear of death immediately will come. The wave is to die, and the wave can see all around dying waves, and you cannot deceive you for long. The wave is seeing other waves are dying, and the wave knows even in my arising death is hidden somewhere, because those other waves a moment before were arising and now they are falling down, dispersing. So I am to die. If the wave thinks itself separate from the ocean, death is bound to appear sooner or later. The fear of death. But if the wave knows that it is not, and only the ocean is, there is no fear of death. Only a wave can die, not the ocean. I can die, not life. You can die, you will die, but not the cosmos, not the existence. Existence goes on waving. It has waved in you. It will wave in others. And while your wave may be disappearing, just by your dispersal, other waves will arise. And the ocean continues. Once you detach yourself from the wave form and become one and feel one and realize oneness with the ocean, the formless, there is no death for you. Otherwise, the fear of death will create misery. In every pain, in every anguish, in every anxiety, the basic fear is of death. You are afraid, trembling. You may not be conscious. But if you penetrate within, you will find every moment there is a trembling. You are going to die. You may create many securities. You may create a citadel around you. But nothing is going to help. Nothing is going to help. Dust unto dust, you are going to fall down back. Have you ever observed, or have you ever meditated, just walking on the road, dust clings to your shoe. The dust may have been the body of a Napoleon, of an Alexander. Somewhere, Alexander is dust now. And the dust clinging to your shoe may have been the body once of Alexander. The same is going to be the case with you. Now you are here, and the next moment you will not be. The same is going to be the case with me. Sooner or later the dust will go into dust. The wave will disappear. Fear grips. Just imagine yourself dust in somebody's shoe clinging. Or some potter making an earthen part of you, your body, or your beloved's body. Moving into a worm or becoming a tree, But this is happening. Everything is a form, and form has to die. Only the formless is eternal. If you cling to the form, if you identify yourself to the form, if you feel yourself as a wave form, you are getting into trouble by yourself. You are the ocean, not the wave. This meditation can help. It can bring a metamorphosis for you. It can become a mutation. But allow it to spread on all of your life. While breathing, think. While eating, think. While walking, think. Think two things. The form is always the wave. And the formless is always the ocean. The formless is deathless. The form is mortal. And it is not that you will die someday. You are dying every day. Childhood dies. And the youth is born. Then youthhood dies, and the old age is born. Then the old age dies, and the form disappears. Every moment you are dying into something else is born. Your first birthday is not the only birth. That is simply a beginning of many births. And your death is not the first death. It is only the last. You have been dying. Every moment something is dying and something else is born. A part of you dies, another part is born. Physiologists say that within 7 years, nothing remains in your body. Everything changes. Every cell, if you are going to live for 70 years, for 10 times, your body is renewed again and again. Every 7 years, you have a new body. Not suddenly, every moment, something is changing. You are a wave, that too not substantial, every moment changing. And a wave cannot be static. A wave has to be changing. A wave has to be constantly in movement. There can be no phenomena of a non-moving wave. Or can it be? A non-moving wave makes no sense. Movement, process. You are a process, a movement. If you get identified with this movement and process and think yourself confined between birth and death, you will be in misery. You are taking appearance as reality. This is what Shankara calls Maya, illusion. The ocean is the Brahma. The ocean is the truth. So think yourself as a wave, or as a continuum of waves, arising and falling. And just be a witness to this. You cannot do anything. These waves will disappear. That which has appeared will have to disappear. Nothing can be done about it. Every effort is absolutely useless. Only one thing can be done, and that is to be a witness of this wave form. Once you become a witness, suddenly you will become aware of something which is beyond the wave, which transcends the wave, which is in the wave also and out of the wave also, which forms the wave and still goes beyond, is the ocean. As waves come with water and flames with fire, so the universal waves with us. The universal waves with us. You are not, the universal is. And he is waving through you. Feel it. Contemplate over it. Meditate it. Allow it to happen to you in many, many ways. I told you about breathing. A sex desire arises in you. Feel it. Not your desire, not as your desire. Just an ocean waving in you. Just life pulsating. Just life having a wave in you. You meet in a love act. Don't think as two waves meeting. Don't think two individuals meeting. Rather think two individuals merging. No more two individuals. Waves have disappeared. Only the ocean has remained. Then the sex act becomes a meditation. Whatsoever happens to you, feel it not as if it is happening to you, but happening to the cosmos. You are just a part of it. Just on the surface, a wave. Leave everything to the universe. Dozen used to say, a Zen master, when he will feel hungry, he will say, it seems the universal feels hungry through me. When he will feel thirsty, he will say, the existence is thirsty within me. This is what this meditation will lead you to. Then everything disperses from your ego and becomes part of the universe. Then whatsoever happens, happens to existence itself. You are no more here. Then there is no sin. Then there is no responsibility. I don't mean that you will become irresponsible. I don't mean that you will become a sinner. Sin will be impossible because sin can happen only around an ego. There will be no responsibility because now you cannot be irresponsible. Only you are to whom you can be irresponsible. And if now you see someone dying, you will feel you are dying with him, within him. The universe is dying and you are part of it. And you will see someone, some flowers, flowering. You will flower with it. The whole universe becomes now you. To be in such a deep affinity and harmony is to be in samadhi. Meditation is the way And this harmony of oneness, this feeling of oneness with all, is the end, is the goal. Try it. Remember the ocean and forget the wave. And whenever you remember the wave and start behaving as the wave, remember, you are doing something wrong, and you will create misery because of it. There is no God who is punishing you. Whenever you fall a prey to some illusion, you punish yourself. The law, the Dhamma, the Tao is there. If you move in harmony with it, you feel blissful. If you move against it, you feel in misery. There is no one sitting there in the skies to punish you. There is no record of your sins. There is no need. It is just like gravitation. If you walk rightly, the gravitation is a help. You cannot walk without it. If you walk wrongly, you will fall down. You may have a fracture, but no one is punishing you. Just the law, the gravitation, the impersonal gravitation. If you walk wrongly, you fall down and you have a fracture. If you walk rightly, you use gravitation. The energy can be used wrongly or rightly. When you feel as a wave, you are against the universal law. You are against reality. You will create misery for yourself. This is what the law of karma means. No lawgiver. God is not a judge. To be a judge is ugly. And if God was a judge, he must be completely bored or would have gone mad by now. He is not a judge. He is not a controller. He is not a lawgiver. Universe has its own law. And the basic law is, to be real is to be in bliss, to become unreal is to be in misery. Second technique, wherever your mind is wandering, internally or externally, at this very place, this. Wherever your mind is wandering, internally or externally, at this very place, this. This mind is the door. This very mind, wherever wandering, whatsoever thinking, contemplating, dreaming, this very mind, this very moment is the door. This is a very revolutionary method, because we never think our ordinary mind is the door. We think some super mind, a Buddha, a Jesus, they can enter. They have some superhuman minds. This very mind you have, this mind which goes on dreaming, imagining, relevant, irrelevant thoughts, crowded with ugly desires, passions, anger, greed. All that is condemned is there, not in your control, pulling you here and there, pushing you from here and there. Constantly a madhouse. This very mind, this sutra says, is the door. Wherever your mind is wandering, wherever, remember, the object is not relevant, wherever your mind is wandering, internally or externally, at this very place, this, many things have to be understood. One, the ordinary mind is not so ordinary as we think. The ordinary mind is not unrelated to the universal mind. It is part of it. Its roots go down to the very center of existence. Otherwise, you cannot be. Even a sinner is grounded into the divine. Otherwise, he cannot be. Even if devil is there, he cannot be without divine support. Existence itself is possible only because of the groundedness into the being. Your mind is dreaming, imagining, wandering, tense in anguish, in misery. Howsoever it moves and wheresoever it moves, it remains grounded in the totality. Otherwise is not possible. You cannot go away from existence. That's impossible. This very moment, you are grounded in it. So what is to be done? If this very moment we are grounded in it, then it will appear to the egoist mind that nothing is to be done. We are already the divine. So why this so much fuss? You are grounded in the divine, but you are unaware of the fact. When mind is wandering, there are two things, the mind and the wandering, the objects in the mind and the mind itself, clouds wandering in the sky. There are two things, the clouds and the sky. Sometimes it may happen, it happens, that there are so many clouds that the sky disappears. You cannot see it. But even if you cannot see it, it has not disappeared. It cannot disappear. There is no way. To help the sky to disappear. It is there, hidden, unhidden, visible, invisible, it is there. But clouds are also there. If you pay attention to the clouds, the sky has disappeared. If you pay attention to the sky, the clouds are just accidental. They come and they go. You need not be worried, too much worried about them. They come and they go. They have been coming. They have been going. They have not been disturbed the sky even an inch. They have not made the sky dirty. They have not even touched it. the sky remains virgin. When your mind is wandering, there are two things: the clouds, the thoughts, the objects, images, and the consciousness and the mind itself. If you pay too much attention to the clouds, to the objects, thoughts, images, you have forgotten the sky. You have forgotten the host. You have become too much interested in the guest. Those thoughts, images, wanderings are just guests. Focus yourself on the guest and you forget your own being. Change the focus from the guest to the host, from the clouds to the sky. Do it practically. A sex desire arises. This is a cloud. Or a greed arises to have a bigger house. This is a cloud. You can become so obsessed with it that you forget completely to whom it has arisen, to whom it has happened, who is behind it, in what sky this cloud is moving. Remember that sky. Suddenly, the cloud has disappeared. Just a change of focus from the object to the subject, from the outer to the inner, from the cloud to the sky, from the guest to the host. Just a change of focus. Linchi, one Zen master, was speaking. Someone asked from the crowd that, answer me only one question: who am I? Linchi stopped speaking. Everyone was alert what answer he is going to give, and he didn't answer. He came down from his chair, walked, came near to the man. The whole crowd became attentive, alert. They were not even breathing. What he was going to do, he should have answered from the chair. There is no need. And the man became afraid. And Linchi came near him with his piercing eyes. He asked the man, he took his collar in his hands, gave a shock to him, and asked, close your eyes and remember who is asking this question, who am I? The man closed his eyes, afraid, of course, went within to seek who has asked this question. And he will not come back. The crowd waited and waited and waited. His face became silent, calmer, still. Then Linchi had to shock him again. Now come out and tell everybody who I am. The man started laughing and he says, what a miraculous way of answering a thing. But if someone asks me now, I am going to do the same. I cannot answer. Just a change of focus. You ask a question, who I am, your mind is focused on the question. And the answer is hidden just behind the question, in the questioner. change the focus, return to yourself. This sutra says, wherever your mind is wandering, internally or externally, at this very place, this, move from the objects to the mind itself. And you are no more an ordinary mind. You are ordinary because of the objects. Suddenly, you become a Buddha yourself. You are already a Buddha, just burdened with many clouds. And not only burdened, you are clinging to your clouds. You won't allow them to move. You think clouds are your property. You think the more you have, the better. You are richer. And your whole sky, your inner space is just hidden. In a way, it has disappeared amid the clouds. And clouds have become your life. The life of the clouds is sansara, is the world. This can happen in a single moment, even this change of focus. And it always happens suddenly. I don't mean that you need not do anything and it will happen suddenly. You will have to do much. But it will never happen gradually. You will have to do and do and do, and one day suddenly a moment comes when you are at the right temperature to evaporate. Suddenly there is no water. It has evaporated. Suddenly you are not in the objects. Your eyes not focused to the clouds. Suddenly they have turned inwards to the inner space. It never happens gradually that one part of your eyes has turned inwards and one part is with the outward clouds. No. Not in percentages, that now 10% you have become inner and 90% outer. Now 20% inner and 80% outer. No. When it happens 100%, because you cannot divide your focusing. Either you see the objects, or you see yourself. Either the world or the Brahma. You can come back to the world. You can change your focus again. You are the master. Really, now you are the master when you can change your focus as you like it. I remember Marpa, one Tibetan mystic. When he realized, when he became a Buddha, when he turned inwards, when he came to encounter the inner space, the infinity, someone asked him, Marpa, how you are now? Marpa's answer is exceptional, unexpected. No Buddha has answered that way. Marpa said, as miserable as before. Marpa said, as miserable as before. The man was bewildered. He said, as miserable as before, but Marpa laughed. He said, yes, but with a difference. And the difference is now the misery is voluntary. I sometimes move just for a taste of the world. I move outward. But now I am the master. Any moment I can go inward. And it is good to move in the polarities. One remains alive. I can move. Marpa said, I can move now. Sometimes I move. in the miseries, but now the miseries are not something which happened to me, I happened to them. And I remain untouched. Of course, when you voluntarily move, you remain untouched. Once you know how to change your focus inwards, you can come back to the world. Every Buddha has come back to the world. Again he focuses. But now the inner man has a different quality. He knows that this is his focusing. These clouds are allowed to move. These clouds are not masters. They cannot dominate you. You allow them and it is beautiful. Sometimes when the sky is filled with clouds, it is beautiful. The movement of the clouds is beautiful. If the sky remains itself, the clouds can be allowed to move. The problem arises only when the sky forgets itself and all the clouds are there. Then everything becomes ugly. Because the freedom is a last. This sutra is beautiful. Wherever your mind is wandering, internally or externally, at this very place, this sutra has been used deeply in Zen tradition. Zen says your ordinary mind is the Buddha mind. Eating, you are a Buddha. Sleeping, you are a Buddha. Carrying water from the well, you are a Buddha. You are. Carrying water from the well, eating your food, lying down on your bed, you are a Buddha. Inconceivable. Looks puzzling, but it is the truth. If carrying water, you simply carry the water, don't make any problem out of it. Simply carrying water, the mind unclouded, the sky vacant, just carrying water, you are a Buddha. Eating, just eating, not doing anything else. When we are eating, we are doing thousand and thousand things. The mind may not be here at all. Your body may be eating just like a robot. Your mind may be somewhere else. One university student was here some days before. His examination is coming near. So he came to ask me, so I am very much confused. And the problem is this. I have fallen in love with a girl. While I'm with the girl, I think of my examination. And while I read, I think only of my girl. So what to do? While reading, studying, I'm not there. I'm with my girl in my imagination. And with my girl, I'm never with her. I'm thinking about my problems, about my examination which is drawing near. So everything has become a mess. This is how everyone has become a mess, not only that boy. While in the office, you think of the house. While in the house, you are in the office. And you cannot do such a magical thing. While in the house, you can be only in the house. You cannot be in the office. And if you are in the office, you are not sane. You are insane. Then everything gets into everything else. Then nothing is clear. And this mind is a problem. While drawing water from a well, carrying water from a well, if you are simply doing this simple act, you are a Buddha. So many times Zen masters have said, if you go to them and ask them, what you do, what is your sadhana, what is your meditation, they will say, while feeling sleepy, we sleep. While feeling hungry, we eat. And that's all. And there is no other sadhana. But this is very arduous. Looks simple. Eating, just eating. Sitting, just sitting. Not doing anything else. Remaining with the moment. Not moving away from it. Merged with the moment. No future, no past. This moment only. Now is the only existence. Then you are a Buddha. This very mind becomes Buddha. When your mind wanders, don't try to stop it. Rather, become aware of the sky. When mind wanders, don't try to stop. Don't try to bring it to some point, to some concentration. No. Allow it to wander. Just don't pay much attention to the wandering. Because far or against, you remain concerned with the wandering. Remember the sky. Allow the wandering and just say, okay. It is just a traffic on the road. Many people are moving this way and that. Same traffic is going on in the mind. I am just the sky, not the clouds. Feel it, remember it, and remain in it. Sooner or later you will feel the clouds are slowing down. There are bigger gaps between the clouds. They are not so dark, not so dense. The speed has slowed down, and intervals can be seen, and the sky can be looked at. Go on feeling yourself the sky and not the clouds. Sooner or later, someday, in some ripe moment, when your focus has gone really inwards, clouds disappear and you are the sky, the ever pure sky, the ever virgin sky. Once you know this virginity, you can come back to the clouds, to the world of the clouds. Then that world has its own beauty. You can move in it, but now you are a master. The world is not bad. The world as master is the problem. You as the master, you can move in it. Then the world has a beauty of its own. It is beautiful. It is lovely. But you need to know that beauty and that loveliness, a mastery within. Third technique, when vividly aware, through some particular sense, keep in the awareness. When vividly aware, through some particular sense, keep in the awareness. You see through your eyes. Remember, you see through your eyes. Eyes cannot see. You see through them. The seer is hidden behind. Eyes are just the openings, just the windows. But we go on thinking that we see by the eyes. We go on thinking we hear by the ears. No one has ever heard by the ears. You hear through the ears, not by the ears. The hearer is hidden behind. The ears are just the receptive organs. I touch you. I give you a loving touch, a hand clasp. Hand is not touching you. I am touching you through the hand. Hand is just instrumental. So there can be two types of touch. When I really touch you and when I just avoid touch. I can touch your hand and avoid touch. I may not be there in my hand. I may have withdrawn. Try this and you will have a different, distinct feeling. Put your hand on someone and withdraw yourself. A dead hand is there, not you. And if the other is sensitive, he will feel a dead hand. He will feel insulted. You are deceiving. You are just showing that you are touching and you are not touching. Women are very sensitive about it. You cannot deceive them. They have a more sensitivity of touch, body touch. So they know the husband may be talking beautiful things, may have brought flowers, and may be saying that I love you. But his touch will show that he is not there. And women have an instinctive feeling when you are with them and when you are not with them. Difficult to deceive unless you are a master. Unless you are a master of your own self, you cannot deceive them. But a master would not like to become a husband. That's the difficulty. Whatsoever you say will be false, your touch will show. Children are very sensitive. You cannot deceive them. You may pet, but they know that this is a dead pet. Your hand is not a flowing energy, a loving energy. Then they know. Then this is just as if a dead thing is being used. When you are present in your hand, in your totality, when you have moved, when your center of being has come to the hand, when your soul is there, then the touch has a different quality. This sutra says, the senses are just doors. Receiving stations, mediums, instruments, receptors. You are hidden behind. When vividly aware through some particular sense, keep in the awareness while hearing music. Don't forget yourself in the ear. Don't lose yourself into the ears. Remember the awareness that is hidden behind. Be alert. While seeing someone, try this. You can try it right now. Looking at me, what is happening? You can look at me by the eyes. And when I say by the eyes, it means you are not aware that you are hidden behind the eyes. You can look me through the eyes. And when I say through the eyes, then eyes are just in between me and you. You are standing there behind the eyes and looking through the eyes, just as if someone looks through a window or inspects. Have you seen some clerk in a bank looking above from his specs? The spec has slipped down on his nose and he looks, just look that way to me, towards me, as if you are looking from above your eyes. The eyes have slipped a little down on your nose and you are standing behind looking at me. Suddenly you will feel a quality change. Your focus changes. Eyes become just doors. This becomes a meditation. Hearing, just hear through the ears and remain aware of your inner center. Touching, just touch through the hand and remember the inner one who is hidden behind. From any sense, you can have a feeling of the inner center. And every sense goes to the inner center. It has to report. That's why you are seeing me, you are hearing me. You see me through the eyes, you hear me through the ears. But deep down within you, you know that you are seeing the same man whom you are hearing also. If I have some body odor, your nose will smell it. Three different senses reporting to one center. That's why you can coordinate. Otherwise, it will be difficult. If your eyes see and your ears hear, it will be difficult to know whether you are hearing the same man whom you are seeing. Are two different, because these two senses are different and they never meet. Your eyes have never known about your ears, and your ears have not heard about your eyes. They don't know, they have never met, they are not even introduced. So how everything becomes synthetic? Ears hear, eyes see, hands touch, and suddenly somewhere inside you know that this is the same man I am hearing and seeing and touching and smelling. This knower is different from the senses. Every sense reports to this knower. And in this knower, in this center, everything falls, fits, and becomes one. This is miraculous. I am one outside you. I am one. My body and body's presence, my body odor, my speaking are one. Your senses will divide me. Your ears will report if I say something. Your nose will report if there is some odor. Your eyes will report if I can be seen and am visible. They will divide me into parts. Again, somewhere within you, I will become one. Where I become one within you is your center of being. That's your awareness. And we have forgotten it completely. This forgetfulness is the ignorance And the awareness will open the doors for self-knowledge. And you cannot know thyself in any other way. When vividly aware, through some particular sense, keep in the awareness. Remain with the awareness. Keep in the awareness. Remain alert. Difficult in the beginning. We go on falling asleep. And it seems arduous to look through the eyes. It is easy to look by the eyes. In the beginning you will feel a certain strain if you try to look through the eyes. Not only you will feel a strain, the person you look at will also feel a strain. If you look someone through the eyes, he will feel you are trespassing him. You are doing something unmannerly. Because if you look through the eyes, the other will become aware suddenly. You are not behaving. Because your look will become piercing. Your look will go deeper. Because if it comes from your depth, it will penetrate to the other's depth. That's why society has a built-in security. Don't look too deeply into anyone, unless you are in love. If you are in love, you can look deeply into the other. To the very depth you can penetrate. Because the other is not afraid. The other can be naked. Totally naked. The other can be vulnerable. The other can be open to you. But ordinarily, if you are not in love, you are not allowed to see directly, to see penetratingly. In India, such a person who looks in such a way penetratingly at someone, we call him a luchcha. A luchcha means a seer. The word luchcha comes from lochan. Lochan means eyes. And luchcha means who has become eyes towards you. So don't try it on someone you don't know. He will think you are a luchcha. First try with objects. A flower, a tree, the stars in the night, they will not feel trespassed and they will not object. Rather, they will like it and will feel very good and appreciate it. First try with them, then with loving persons, your wife, your child. Sometimes take your child into your lap and look at him through the eyes, and the child will understand. Will understand more than anyone else, because he is yet uncrippled by the society, yet unperverted, yet natural. He will feel deep love if you look through the eyes. He will feel your presence. Look at your lover or beloved. And then only by and by, as you get the feeling and as you become more artful about it, you can look at anyone, because then they will not be able to know that someone has looked so deeply. And once you have this art of standing always alert behind your senses. The senses cannot deceive you. Otherwise, the senses have deceived you. In a world which is just an appearance, they have deceived you to feel it as real. If you can look through the senses and remain alert, the world will by and by appear to you as illusory, dreamlike. And you will be able to penetrate to the substance, to the very substance of it. That substance is Brahma. Enough for today.
Discourses by Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Ji on Vigyan Bhairav Tantra.